This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne.
And I'm Steve Inskeep. Good morning. We're going to get a glimpse this morning at one of the least visited countries on Earth. Diplomats, analysts, and spies have been straining to understand recent events in North Korea.
That's because of a mystery about its ailing leader. The question is whether Kim Jong-il has anointed his youngest son as successor. NPR's Louisa Lim has just returned from a five-day visit to North Korea. On a visit where her moves were strictly controlled and monitored, she sought clues to what's happening.
On our first night in Pyongyang, the karaoke girls in the restaurant sang a jaunty song called "Socialism is Our Thing." "Socialism is our thing," they sang, since the people chose it, and socialism makes people's lives a paradise. That boundless, blind confidence set the tone for this heavily stage-managed trip. This was a visit designed to show North Korea as it would like to be seen.
This is the grand monument to Mansoul here, and every morning I come here and pay respect.
Stirring music swirled in the background as guide Kim Hyang-mi spoke. This 60-foot bronze statue to the country's founder, Kim Il-sung, was the first stop in our whirlwind tour of the personality cult of Kim. He towers over Pyongyang, where he's omnipresent, despite his death 15 years ago. We were spun around monument after monument, all erected to glorify the man known as the great leader and his son and successor in this bizarre communist dynasty, the dear leader Kim Jong-il. Last year, he was reported to have suffered a stroke, sparking concern about his succession. But in Pyongyang, no one talks about that. Instead, in vast Kim Il-sung Square, tour guide Oh Kum-suk talks about one of the happiest days of his life. It was the day he took part in a parade, marching through this square, holding a blazing torch.
My family is so excited. You know why? We can get the chance to see the dear leader, Kim Jong-un. Come on, Kim Jong-un. So exciting.
A spectacular fireworks display in April is rumoured to have been orchestrated by Kim Jong-il's favoured successor, his youngest son, 26-year-old Kim Jong-un. His name is now widely known in North Korea compared to a year ago, but it's not mentioned in public. In 5 days here, only one person directly answered a question about the man known as the Young General. That was Kim Sun-hee, a state-sponsored artist who spent 6 months capturing the fireworks display on canvas. Her words echo the much-repeated idea of single-hearted unity, melding the minds of the leader, the party, and the masses.
If the young general, Kim Jong-un, organized these fireworks, it is all in the minds of all the people.
Nowadays, his father, Kim Jong-il, is firmly back in control. Just 5 days ago, he was seen bear-hugging Chinese Premier Wen Jiabao at a lavish welcoming ceremony at the airport. Some believe his succession has been put on hold. It could just be proving too divisive, according to Leonid Petrov, a North Korea watcher at Sydney University visiting Pyongyang.
Kim Jong-un has, in the past months, got great popularity among the younger representatives within the army, within the party, as opposed to the old guard. Here we can see a sort of brewing conflict, which at the moment is not visible, but within elite they probably detected some signs of interest in reform, change, experimentation, and I think that Kim Jong-il decided simply to put it on hold. The family is not interested in any change.
Moves towards economic liberalization, too, are being rolled back. This spring, North Korea aired its first television commercial ever, for Taedonggang beer. That ad was shown for a few weeks, but is no longer running. The authorities have also tightened control on local markets, limiting their opening hours and restricting who's allowed to work there. Leonid Petrov says the regime is clamping down on private enterprise, driving it underground.
Back in 2003, Pyongyang looked like one big market. Now we can see there's no trade on the streets. Trade and market and commercial activity is deemed to be something ideologically contaminating, something alien to the very nature of socialist society.
Instead, to reassert political control, a series of mass mobilization campaigns are underway. Loudspeakers play rousing music, while street banners trumpet the latest 100-day campaign. This was launched days after the 150-day campaign ended. It encompasses urban beautification projects, a drive to increase production, and ideological education. Guide Kim Hyang-mi is confident of the campaign's success.
Within 100 days, we'll have a rapid progress in economy, culture, and everything.
These campaigns featured in the mass games, the highlight and eeriest part of our trip. Tens of thousands of performers dance in perfect unison. Behind them, thousands of schoolchildren flip coloured cards simultaneously, creating a living backdrop glorifying the achievements of the regime. Control and discipline is all. The individual is entirely subsumed by the masses. This astonishing display serves to keep people busy, distracting them from daily hardship or dissent. For with reforms reversed, it appears North Korea is rolling back the clock as it looks to the future.
That was NPR's Louisa Lim reporting on her 5-day visit to North Korea, and she joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning, Renee.
It sounds like Kim Jong-il is not ready to pass along the reins of power, or at least it's not a given that his 26-year-old son will be the one to receive them.
Well, I guess I should start with the caveat that it's extremely difficult to know what's going on in North Korea, but the consensus does still seem to be that his 26-year-old son, Kim Jong-un, is the chosen one, but the power transition will happen later rather than sooner. There have been mentions of Kim Jong-un singing his praises earlier in the year, and there was a new song called Footsteps that had started to be heard. It was extolling this unnamed young general called Kim, and it was thought to be Kim Jong-un's promotional song. However, analysts are saying since August, this song was no longer heard and Kim Jong-un's name is no longer mentioned. And then just a few weeks ago, Kim Yong-nam, North Korea's number two, said publicly that no successor had been named and the issue was not being discussed. One factor could be that Kim Jong-il is now looking a lot better, so there's no urgency in naming his successor. He might be wary about creating two power centers. But really, at the moment, the consensus seems to be that the son, Kim Jong-un, may be named as a successor in 2012 because this is the 100th anniversary of the birth of the country's founder, Kim Il-sung. And at the moment, that's all anybody's talking about.
And Louisa, what about China in all of this? It shares a border with North Korea. What are its interests in terms of this succession?
Well, China's biggest concern is about the future stability of North Korea. Of course, it has this long border. It does not want to see refugees pouring over the border, and that's always at the bottom of all its calculations. But at the moment, China's focus is very much trying to get North Korea back to the table for talks on nuclear disarmament. It's very frustrated with North Korean behavior because China's invested this huge amount of diplomatic capital in those talks, and North Korea just walked away. And when it comes to the issue of the succession, Chinese analysts say that China's not particularly enamored with the idea of a third-generation hereditary succession, but their leverage is waning, and their main concern at the moment is avoiding a collapsed state.
NPR's Louisa Lim, thanks very much.
Thank you.
And you can get a glimpse of North Korea through a photo gallery at our website, npr.org.